Tell you what, let's get the show started. Hey, everybody, welcome to UGA Sports Live podcast. My name is Roddy DeBulsi. I'm joined by Jake Roos, the recruiting superstar at UGASports.com. And, of course, the reason everyone's tuning in, Jim Donnan, former UGA football coach, down on the end there, Hall of Fame coach, the apple in our apple fritter here. So he's the one that makes the show work. So if you have questions, please send them in. You can put them in on the Facebook page at 365 Game Day, which is where you're watching this. Or if you're on our YouTube page, you can add them there. We will get to them as well. Do us a favor and share this. We'd greatly appreciate it. And if you're watching it on YouTube, hit subscribe. Or if you're watching it on Facebook, hit the like button. It would mean the world to us. Before we get started talking about the Missouri game and the upcoming Auburn game, I want to give a big shout out to Athens Ford, Aaron Overhead Doors, Yerpai Academia Brewing Company, Cable East, and of course Georgia Game Day Center. We actually had some folks staying at the Georgia Game Day Center last week and eating at Yerpai. So
and shout out to these tamales we got today.
Yeah, we have. If you're not, if you don't know where we are at Champy's on Baxter Street. That's where we do the show from. Great place to come by and pick up some food, you know, for your tailgates. If you're not going to Auburn, this is a great place to come by and watch the game. If you are coming back for that Texas A&M game, come by here, get that big box of chicken, take it to your tailgate. You will be a hit. Let's go backwards before we look ahead to Auburn and Texas A&M. Coach, let's go back to the Missouri game. Shutout for the defense, 27 points for the offense, a lot of points left on the field, a lot of people kind of disappointed in a 27. Granted, I think the spread was 17. You win 27-0 over an SEC East opponent, but people were less excited about that win than they
would
were.
Would you rather
7-point
run
win over
47-20?
Honestly, probably.
So I mean
that's a fair question.
I mean, we definitely left some points on the board without question. But I always like to reflect on a game as a former coach and somebody that tries to analyze it. You know, what went right first, and there were so many positives. First of all, some of our personnel that were able to play in the game that we haven't seen. Stevenson getting a good shot there coming in at the nickelback with Devod Wilson having a little hip corner situation. Just did a really good job athletically. And, you know, it's his first real action in the under pressure, and he's covering a big tight end. He did a great job. And then getting back on the corner, you know, Tyson Campbell was just huge for our depth, because we're going to see some really good passing teams down the stretch, particularly Texas A&M and LSU, depending on, you know, we got to get there. But, you know, and we're going to see some good teams in Auburn that runs a lot of mismatches where they try to take their wide receivers and jump them inside and play on your nickel guys. So I just think those two guys getting out there and showing what they could do really helps our defensive, you know, mentality, because that's something that you want your best players to play. And then the other thing is having the adversity of losing your center and then losing your other center who was a very versatile guy. And just not disrupting things too badly. And then Salyer getting in there, getting some valuable reps. You know, people just expect you to click your fingers, and when Cager goes out, something's supposed to be enormous happening. When you lose your center, something's supposed to be great. I mean, we've had so many injuries in our offensive line this year. Cohesion's been so difficult, but we saw when we had all of them together how well we did against Florida, particularly on pass protection. So hopefully all these guys will be back this week, and that'll help us. But just as a consummate feeling here, I just feel like there's so much potential that hasn't been realized with our offense that hopefully that we're going to put it together. Instead of a guy dropping a pass, or instead of a guy overthrowing a pass, instead of a guy missing a block, you know, those things sometimes kind of add up, and you put it all together. And fortunately, we haven't had but one loss because of that. So we got the automatic field goal guy that got those 12 points, which was enough to win for us. And our kicking game, again, was good. Guys like Simmons, I get on Simmons about dropping passes, but he lines up there as the gunner and goes down there and covers really good. And then he's the anti-gunner, who's the guy that holds up the other guy that sets up the punt returns. And he did a really good job on the one we had where Dom caught it and made, you know, got it back to midfield. So a lot more positives than negatives, but, you know, that's just typical society. You're going to dwell on what's wrong instead of what's right, which is okay.
No, that's true.
Which is okay. But I will tell you, refer to the Army manual that my father had, that after death, everything else is okay. That's what I'm saying.
No, that's psychologically,
you can recover from just about anything that happens to you, whatever it is in life, but particularly on losing or having something go wrong, you can still come back from that. So I just feel like I give you a little philosophy there that I've always felt like that the alternative after that is okay. You understand?
Absolutely.
Any concern, because it feels like we've said this before, Georgia hasn't reached its potential yet. Georgia is, you know, they're leaving points on the field. They haven't
won. Hell once
they
no. hit
their potential. Well, I'm just, well, I mean, we're 8-9 games in the season. That's why I was asking, any concern that you haven't done that yet?
Well, I thought you said, have we reached it? No.
No. That's what I'm saying.
But
any concern that they
you
haven't
add
yet.
The fact, and I've taken up for the fact that if a guy is playing his 9th game or 10th game, he's not a freshman anymore, particularly after having spring practice or having summer camp. But at the same time, we have had some growing pains in our passing game. There's no question about that. And the lack of having Cager full tilt has hurt us because he's a go-to guy. But the other guys have stepped up. If you look at Demetrius Robertson, he's touched the ball this year. He's had on his touches, which our great Brent Rollins had it in his reaction to the game, he's averaging 11.9 every time he touches the ball. He's had 20 receptions, and he's had 3 rushes for over 10 yards a rush. So we got to get the ball to him some way. The same way with Pickens. I mean, he's got better stats right now than the guy that everybody was just going crazy over that we lost to Oklahoma, Jordan Hazelwood. He's got 4 touchdown passes. Hazelwood's got 1. He's got a lot more receptions. But the main thing for Pickens, I think, that we got to focus on is what he does right. There's not many guys that have got that kind of ability. I mean, if you go to the basketball game tonight, you know, when Edwards doesn't hit every shot, he's not going to hit every shot, but he's going to hit a hell of a lot of them too. So the point is, we got to focus a little bit more on as a team, as a staff, as a player, about a lot of the positives we got. You know, and we got Swift, we got Harrion. This is going to be we'll give keys to the game defensively. And you know, I'm not just a homer here for Kirby and the team. I mean, I think we got some issues for sure, but our issues aren't as bad as – how'd you like to have Alabama's defense compared to ours?
Yeah.
Well, giving up 5.9 per play in conference play. Alabama, Nick Saban.
And the last 2 top 5 teams he's seen –
not going so well.
Almost 100 points between Clemson and LSU.
How do you feel about this defense, though? We talk a lot about the offense leaving a lot on the board. What about this defense? They're leaving really no doubts out there about where they stand. 3 shutouts, first time
since
81.
I'm just so proud of the job that Lanning and Schumann, the way they've worked together from a leadership role, and also the way Warren and Scott have blended in as a staff. I mean, these guys really work hard. Of course, they got Kirby giving them a lot of support and knowledge, you know, that any question you got, he's had that happen to him in his career, so you can throw that out. But they do a good job of preparing the team. And what we've been able to do is by playing so many guys that all of them have bought into the fact that they've got a role, whether it's 44 coming in on the passing situation, whether it's our nickel and dime package, whoever it might be, you know, you're going to get to play enough that you're going to contribute. And a good example of that to me is Tate Crowder. He wasn't a good back by any stretch of the imagination, but he was a pretty good player, and he worked his ass off on special teams, and he showed he could be a tackler in space, and we made him a linebacker. Now his role is overwhelming for our team. You know, Monty Rice the same way, Jordan Davis. So we don't have a bunch of all-conference guys maybe that stand out like a couple guys for other teams, but we got a group that plays together, all 11, really well. And take a lot of pride. I mean, there's a lot of pride on that group that didn't want to give up a score there at the end of the game. And shout out to Derek Dooley for calling a timeout so we could get our number one defense back in the game. That was nice of him. He said, this is Dooley Field. I want to shut out. My dad wants them to keep that record, so I'm going to call a timeout because I know they got their second team in.
Thanks, Agent Dooley there. I wanted to ask you about the defense because – when I'm looking back at some of the offenses Georgia's played, some were respectable, some were not that good. You know, you've seen a bunch of backup quarterbacks, and that, to be fair, that's been Georgia's, you know, Achilles heel, it seems. It does make me a little nervous that there is not a Roquan Smith, a Lorenzo Carter, guys like that. The numbers look fantastic, but as a coach, is this defense as good as those numbers say?
I would say probably not, just because it hadn't been tested by an effective, really run-pass team that can do both. You know, Notre Dame didn't have any backs that game. They just threw the ball. You know, I don't know that we really have been tested. I watch our own offense out there, and we got John Parker here today who watches a lot more practice than me, but our offense moves the ball on the defense, don't they, John? They do, and so that gives me a lot of hope that our offense is capable of making some plays, and it also lets our defense keep them down to earth that, hey, we're just not the best thing since sliced bread, too. So a little bit of both there, but I do feel like our defense has improved immeasurably since spring practice of being cohesive and the fact that a team can't – If we make you one-handed, you got no chance. But, you know, most teams are a lot better if they can run or pass on down the distance, you know. So, but our team has improved dramatically on defense. Offensively, we've improved, but we just hadn't shown them the games.
You mentioned the cohesion on the offensive line kind of being a concern. Cannon2245 over on UGASports.com wants to know. He says, I'd love to hear Coach's opinion on why we're struggling to run the ball as efficiently as we have the past few years. Is that team scheming against it? Is that the cohesion on the line? Where do you see that coming from?
Well, we played against two really good defensive fronts in Missouri and South Carolina, which really – caught us a little bit there, you know, where we didn't make them. And then just not run a lot of plays. You know, the more plays you run, the better chance. You know, you look at the Florida game, we're out there a long time. Second quarter last week, we didn't do anything. You know, no first downs hardly. And so you got to make some first downs to get that. But at the same time, when we incorporate a drop pass or an overthrown pass, when you're using it on a waist down, then it's hard to make third and six, you know what I mean, even though we made all those ones against Florida. So I think it's a good question. We hadn't had the cohesiveness because we hadn't had the explosive plays that allow you. You look at some of these plays where Swift runs 30, 35 yards, we go right down the field quickly. But we have an unbelievable propensity for stopping ourselves in the red zone. Like the other night, we had this bad snap.
Yeah,
I mean, that's a killer. And it wasn't that bad, but, you know, it wasn't perfect either. So
I'd like to see if there were – I think there are maybe – I can remember two, but there may be three dropped passes in the red zone. I mean, hit a guy in the hands, a little legitimate. You can't blame the quarterback.
Before you talk about play calling, tremendous call there to throw the ball to Wolf in a running situation that we did. But the underthrow, but he still had a chance to catch it. It hit him in the hands. But but once you do that and you don't make it, then you're forced to, you know, you're in the defenses, you know, there's a little bit of advantage for them then, you know. So, but I think there's way too much made about what we can't do instead of what we can. We still got the edge. If you look at this game, we got the edge at quarterback, a big edge, experience, talent. That kid's doing some things good. Kirby's got a big edge over this guy as far as, you know, wins against him. He's in his head about some of the things. Like, he had a brilliant game plan last year against these guys and just came out, he and Tucker, and they just snafu'd him the whole game. Now, whether we'll do it this week, I don't know. But we got an edge in the punting game. They don't net punt very good. We got an edge in kick returns. But they got some speed on the perimeter. But –
how would you attack this defense, the Auburn defense?
Specifically this front seven. That's one of the questions we've got.
The first thing you got to do is get some kind of game plan for number five. I mean, the guy is the best.
Sniper?
Yeah, he's the best player in the conference at his for what he does. At his position, how he affects the game, you don't have anybody that – I mean, he's like Quinnen Williams was for Alabama last year. I mean, he just – so disruptive. He's an athlete. You see him picking up fumbles and running with it, catching. So you got to have some way to negate him and not let him disrupt the game. Their corners are good, but they hold a lot. They do some things on the perimeter where they snatch you, you know, grab you coming by. So hopefully we'll get some calls there. But I look for us to mix up where we line up our receivers a little bit. But I really like, I think the number one thing we can do in the passing game is Swift, Cook, Harry, and out of the backfield against their linebackers. If you watching the game last Saturday before our game, and most of the people there tailgating, but we had a chance to see that LSU game. Boy, they worked those backers. LSU worked on Alabama's backers. I mean, just broke their back with that back number 22 was awesome. And then Alabama did the same thing to LSU. So I think we can hurt them with play action with backs out of the backfield. And I think we can get some shots on them because they play a lot of man coverage. But this is not going to be a high-scoring game unless they turn the ball over and give us some things. It's going to be hard to score on these guys. I mean, look at number one team in the nation. What did they score, 21 on them?
I believe that's correct, yeah.
And, with a high-powered offense.
Yeah.
Maybe the best offense in the
really
league.
Really, Florida moved the ball on them probably better than anybody. They've been a really good team, too, which I looked at their stats. They've been a really good team in against the best teams, like in the first quarter, too, not giving up many points in the first quarter or the third quarter. So, second, fourth, they give up a lot more. So, you just don't know if they're that conditioned or have a lot of depth. But, boy, they come out swinging every game first half.
So, do not freak out on the dog vent if it's 0-0 at the end of the first quarter. Or at the end of the half. I mean, and to your point.
That's a nice idea.
It's going to be a low-scoring game. I mean, but, you know, but they can make some big plays, too. I mean, they got the fastest guy in America playing over there in Swartz.
Yeah, and maybe the second fastest guy, too, in Shivers.
Yeah, that's true.
Shivers.
Yeah. Sean Shivers.
We got Campbell and Stevenson.
I know. I'm not putting Jordan. I asked.
And they're quite familiar because they used to all run track
Stokes
against
too.
Each other.
You got Stokes.
That's true. No, they don't know about Stokes.
Yeah, I mean, well, we saw that race where it was Schwartz, Shivers, and then Tyson Campbell, yep. Again, 1-2-3, with all 100-meter times faster than anybody in the state of Georgia.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. But it was ridiculous.
It was a hell of a race, but to be fair, Georgia's got some speed guys too. But I go back and look at all the kids I've seen in high school, not as many as Jake, but I've seen quite the number. One of the most dominating performances I've ever seen was by Derrick Brown. I mean, he looked like an NFL all
He has pro. Since he was in 10th grade.
Literally, and just, I mean, running all over the field, knocking down passes, one of the most dominant things. And he's been that way at Auburn.
I
really wish he'd gone pro.
I don't know why he didn't. Why wouldn't he go pro? I mean, I guess they made him a better deal. I mean,
would have been a loss of money. He is quite a talent there. I can see Georgia having to deal with him. I guess my thought was when I was asking about how do you attack this defense, I remember when Alabama faced Jarvis Jones. They ran right at him, overwhelmed him on his side.
Somebody just suggested that. Do you run right at Derrick Brown?
I just want to know from a scheme standpoint, is that possible?
I think you can mix it up a little bit. We got to do some different things with him, you know, block down on him and control him. Just make sure that he doesn't play havoc with you and cause the turnovers like he did against Florida. I mean,
that's true.
He kept him in the game with his play there, but. But their offense was terrible against Florida. I'm talking about Florida's had two games that have really helped their stats. Vanderbilt, which always helps your stats, less than 100 yards. And then Auburn, you know, was terrible on third down, like 3 out of 14 and all that. And, I mean, we watched that game. They couldn't score. I mean, they just couldn't do it. But they hang around. They beat you look at them right now, they really control – a lot about what's going to happen in a college football playoff.
Absolutely.
Because if you look at it, Oregon's loss to them is hanging out over Oregon, and if all of a sudden Alabama beats them, that's going to help Alabama on their side of the ledger, depending on what we do against LSU and Auburn. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
And hurt Oregon, too. So I go back to you're talking about Georgia's advantages in the kicking game, stuff like that. Rodrigo Blankenship named, you know, SEC – special teamer of the week again. Derrick Brown picks up his third SEC defensive lineman of the week to go with Marlon Davidson's third SEC. It's not just one guy, it's two. So
he got an SEC player of the week when he's on a bye?
No. He's had three this year.
Oh, okay. Yeah. He's like he
beat. No, he beat the hell out of the
pot. I know you yeah. really can tell me some stuff, but that would have been good.
No. He's had three this year.
So they've had six of the D linemen of the 11 weeks.
No, I don't know of all this year. I'm just saying in their careers.
Oh.
And hell, it may have been three this year.
But, I mean,
year.
if you have three in your career, that's something in this league.
Yeah.
No question.
So that's surprising.
There's no question this guy is the most dominant force in the SEC. I mean – you're not going out on a limb. That's an old Mockingbird call there. I mean, the guy is just – I mean, I know some coaches that played against Clemson's defensive line last year, Clemson this year, all that. I mean, this guy is just a human wrecking ball.
How much does it help Georgia out, if at all, that they've pretty thoroughly scouted almost every single guy on this team at one point because they were recruiting them? I mean, when I'm looking at this defense, Marlon Davidson, Tyrone Truesdale, Big Cat Bryant, Derek Papo. Brown, Papo, KJ Brown, Christian Tutt, Javaris Davis. I mean, he almost ended up here. There's a great deal of familiarity there.
No question. And, of course, they got the same thing with their kids. Looking at our players because they ran on them, but it helps a little bit, but, you know, scheme-wise, Steele's doing a good job. He comes from the Nick Saban tree. He runs a lot of the same stuff that Nick did when Kirby was there. You know, he was kind of an analyst when Kirby was there. So you give him credit, though. He's got to be down in the dump some of those games the way they stymie people, and their offense doesn't do much. I watched them last week against Ole Miss. Now, they were fortunate to win that game. Very fortunate to win, but – you know, they were probably looking ahead, I mean, 2 weeks ago when they played before the bye. But how about everybody? Three straight teams now we're playing off a bye.
Yeah, that's very interesting, at least in the world of scheduling. I don't know. I can't recall that happening before, certainly. But
well, it'll happen next year. It'll probably be six of them.
You know, somebody asked me about that with the schedule. They said, how many is it going to be?
You said the same thing. The whole thing.
Every one of them. But I think it's only one. I think it's only Florida has a bye.
They already got the schedule for next year?
I think somebody looked it up, and they had it, and they said, here's how it's going to play out.
Who all we got non-conference next year?
I don't know.
Let me see.
I'm barely looking forward to when Texas A&M's coming. I don't know what's going on.
We don't have Texas A&M next year, though. Crossover.
No, I'm just saying I'm only looking ahead like a week. That's about as far as I look out.
Well, I'm not looking. I just thought I'd throw out something for my boy.
Let's see. You got Virginia.
Oh, yeah. We go to the Dome, play Virginia, the Cavaliers.
East Tennessee State.
The Bucks.
ULM.
The Warhawks.
I don't know any of these mascots.
Georgia Tech. That's it.
The piss ants.
I knew something was coming.
And you play at Alabama next year, so that'll be a fun one.
I thought Nick was going to retire, but he probably won't. He wants Kirby to come over and beat him one time.
Yeah, absolutely. Username Dog over on the board says, so at South Carolina, we lost the turnover battle 4-0. At Kentucky, we played in a monsoon. And against UF and Missouri, we seem to prefer field goals over touchdowns. So for Coach Donnan, is the offense struggling as much as Vince says, or have we just had some bad facts? Have they just kind of run into some bad situations? How close do you think?
A little bit of both. We're definitely struggling to make the plays in the red zone, but our defense is so good against the teams we're playing and the threat of their scoring that you go for give me three anytime. You know what I mean? You don't even look at going for it on fourth and two or three. If you're playing against a team that's scoring a lot, you probably would do that. So the quality of the opponent has something to do with kicking these field goals too. But if you just look at some of these red zone problems we've had, it's been a bad snap on one series, a bad throw, you know, whatever it might be. I'd like to see us maybe second and six be more of a running down than a passing down force to see if we can – you know, Burma rode it in there, three straight runs, maybe. See how that works.
I wanted to ask you, too, about this one. Speaking of looking ahead, A. Heller 99 over on the board wants to know, he says, if Georgia were to win the East, he's looking quite ahead, how does Donnan like the matchup with LSU? I personally find it to be favorable because of our speed on defense and their defense being suspect at some levels.
Well, we've said all year, and we're not going to talk about that much, but as far as look ahead, but there's LSU hitting another pass in the flat to the back. No, we we have talked about that I felt like our defense was better than Alabama's and LSU's all year. You know, I didn't think it was quite as good up front as Auburn, maybe, but because they got, you know, Brown. But here's the deal. LSU is get riding high right now. I mean, that quarterback's on a strong, strong bid to be the Heisman Trophy winner. But they got good receivers. But, you know, I feel like we're certainly as capable as Florida, who went up and down the field on them, and Alabama, who maybe have a couple more receivers than us. But our running game, I mean, it'll be a real test for both teams. But I think we can – if we'll just not make the mental errors that we made last year against them, they're just overwhelming how many mistakes we made against LSU. Just unbelievable alignment mistakes, missed tackles, missed receivers in the open field. They deserve to win, but, you know, we really gift-wrapped that thing for them.
Slim Mosley on YouTube.
Slim.
Yeah, wants to know, Ferrati, any updates on some of these O-line injuries? That'll be a very key factor for this week.
You know, after the game, Kirby Smart was like, everybody's fine, everything's good. And
they could have been dead.
And I was like, wait a minute, you had Lawrence Cager, he was in like a pullover with an arm in a...
You know, people are saying that wasn't him. I don't know that he might have been, that might have been a disguise for the CBS, but that might not have been
CBS
Cager.
cut to Ryan Davis.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, well,
yeah.
You got to keep up with us, man.
I don't know. Well, I mean, hell, it could have been Tommy Bush.
Yeah, sure.
For all I know. I mean, yeah.
It wasn't CBS, it was ESPN.
Yeah, there you go.
Well, whoever, you know, everyone's like, after the game, everyone's going to be fine. I'm like, to me, Cade Mays is going to be fine because they let Cade talk after the game. They let him talk yesterday. Done.
Good sign.
Isaiah Wilson goes down. He comes back at the end. I didn't even catch that. You know, so it's like, okay, he's back out there. And I dig a little bit more just to find out exactly what it is because, you know, guys can come back into the game, but that doesn't mean they're healthy. It doesn't mean, you know, they're needed. Of course, you're up 27-0. You're not going to put him out there if he's injured. So Isaiah Wilson should be fine. He had the breath knocked out of him. Was worried about what had actually happened. You know, that is something you bounce back from.
That's one of the worst feelings in the history of the world, though, to have the breath knocked out of you.
Oh, no question.
Yeah, it's just a panic.
And you're 6'8", you're laying there?
Yeah. Trey Hill, a much bigger question. Okay, ankle injury on a guy who has to push off on that ankle, that's a big deal. The Georgia's offensive line is very good, especially the tackles are fantastic. A couple first-rounder guys there. Of those five up front, Trey Hill, I don't want to call him the weak link, but not as highly rated as the others. He's younger. There have been some issues there. Going up against the toughest interior defense he's seen yet. A 80% Trey Hill is a concern. You know, he could go, but how healthy is he going to be? So he's got to be worried about it. But he's cleared to practice, so doesn't mean he's cleared to play. Keep an eye on it. Of course, practice is closed yesterday. Practice closed today. I guarantee you practice will be closed tomorrow, just like they did against Florida.
I would, too.
So we won't know.
Why would we tell you what – if I was coaching, why would I tell you what was going on?
I don't know.
How close do you how important do you think that Trey Hill is, though, to this game?
I think he's important just because of the convenience of feeling good about the snap. There's something like we used to talk about. We were talking about the kid snapping that we picked up as a transfer from what's his name?
Mercer.
Mixon.
Yeah, Stephen Nixon.
Yep. Nixon. You know the ball's going to be there, so you don't worry about it. As compared to if you get one or two bad snaps, you start thinking about, I got to get the snap first before I read the defense. Whereas if you're just looking through the ball to the defense, there's no problem with it. So I think that issue there is something we got to look at. And if you look at the way Hill played against Florida when he had Kinley back in there at left guard, they meshed up good.
So well.
And, you know, Cleveland played – got SEC offensive lineman of the game, but he didn't start last week. Mays started right guard, yep. And he still made player of the week in the SEC. So Cleveland had a tremendous game against Auburn, you know, 2 years ago. I mean, he still has a little trouble once in a while, like anybody does with the quickness of Marlon Brown. So I think we're going to have to see all week how this guy does, and they'll play the best. Start out with the best group that they got that they feel like. But what's happened now with all these big groups of mass people, you saw Mays just be finishing up a play and blocking downfield, and he got hit from behind and buckled up underneath him. And so that those are – and we've had an inordinate amount of ankle injuries to our linemen. You go back to Andrew Thomas last year against South Carolina. I mean, look at all these guys.
Isaiah Wilson's had an ankle injury.
And then, you know – the one thing about Hill, though, when he was called on to play right guard last year against Quinn and Williams, he did okay in that championship game. He did okay. Nobody's going to win against that guy a whole lot. But
I think if you get him back, to your point, you look at the bad snap, the one that went over Fromm's head, then you look at the low one when he's trying to throw it into the end zone, you know, right. And he made that quick read. He didn't have time to actually see that DeAndre Swift was wide open. He would have tossed it to him. But he was looking at his feet.
Right.
There's a blitz. And by the time he looks up, that kid's in his face, and he went to this hot route. He's like, okay, I've seen the defense. This is the guy that I'm going to throw to. If he had had a fraction of a second, instead of bending down, pick the ball up, take his eyes off the field, maybe that's the touchdown there. So, getting Trey Hill would be back for your – to
saw a great play in the Alabama game where they faked the clap, and the defensive back looked inside, and then he threw a touchdown pass on him.
Yeah.
It was unbelievable. They weren't ready for it. Here it is right here. They're just doing it right now.
I had the fake clap once.
That wasn't fake. There's nothing fake about that.
If you watch a replay and he fakes the clap and he starts looking over to the sideline like he's getting the next snap, and next play, and the defensive back's looking in the huddle, and he hits a touchdown pass on him. That was very clever.
I like that. Speaking of clever, let me tell you folks over at Athens Ford, they have some very clever deals for you. If you go to their website, the first thing that'll pop up is a get $500 off coupon on any vehicle. So it doesn't matter what you're doing, you can get a $500. All you got to do is put your name and address, phone number in there, and they will take care of it. Right now, they have 1,300 vehicles available. I think when we first started looking at that counter, they had 1,000. Now they're up to 1,300. Why? Because it's the end of the year. So they got a bunch of 2019s and a bunch of 2020s in there that you need to go check out. They have the 2020 Ford Explorer XLT. It is $8,000 off. 2019 Ford Expedition, the really big one, the XLT Limited. The 2019 is $12,000 off. So if you want a 2020 Ford Explorer, $8,000 off. Want a 2019 Ford Expedition, $12,000 off. If you want a 2019 Ford Ranger, fantastic little truck, or the XL, the Lariat. Both those are $6,000 off. And, of course, every vehicle you buy there has the lifetime powertrain warranty. Even their pre-owned vehicles, especially their certified pre-owned vehicles, anything up to 80,000 miles on it, and I guarantee you they don't have a whole lot of them that are over that. So if you go out there, the customer service is going to be fantastic. They're going to take great care of you. And then they're going to give you a vehicle that's backed up with the only guarantee you can get on a lifetime powertrain. So hit our folks at Athens Ford, huge fans. I guarantee you if you're not going to the Auburn game this weekend, they will be happy to see you until about 3:30 Saturday. And then then come back. Come back Sunday or come back Monday. But no point in hanging out there the entire time. So you'll be watching the game. I guarantee you they'll have it streamed somewhere out there. So any other time, go out there and buy it from Athens Ford. But be kind to the salesman and don't come out there at 3:30.
Absolutely. Ronnie Brown with a great question here for you, Coach.
I'm sorry I didn't recruit you, Ronnie.
So, he comes with something that
I know which Ronnie.
Something was talked about.
Still sells me that we didn't get Ronnie Brown.
Something that was spoken about in the press conferences yesterday. He says, Coach, when you have a player like George Pickens, whose emotions are part of what makes him special, that can get you in trouble in a heated rivalry like this. How do you help him from a coaching aspect to find the fine line?
Yeah, I mean, you just got to – your senior leadership's got to talk to him about, you know, the things that happen in a game like this. You're going to have the other team trying to get your goat, you know, talking to you, saying trash to you and things like that, or hitting you late or whatever it might be. You just got to have poise and you understand how important it is to your team that you don't make – a stupid mistake and get, you know, push a guy late or hit swinging a guy. And we've been pretty good about that. I mean, you know, we hadn't had a lot of that. So Kirby doesn't put up with any nonsense at practice, and these guys will warn him about it. And having been a longtime guy that was committed to Pickens was committed to Auburn, then you're going to add that fuel to the fire. But it'll be that much sweeter when he goes across the goal line and all those people saying, well, we could have had that guy.
Yeah, that's well, and to be fair, too, I mean, it's not like Georgia has won a ton of those battles against Auburn when it comes to a player like that, a guy like George Pickens or a guy like Derrick Brown. I mean, these five-star battles have gone Auburn's way a pretty significant amount of time. All right. Speaking of George Pickens, curb stomper 2-1 over
that
on the
Pat
board.
Pat Dye playbook
wants to know.
Pat Dye recruiting network
with the cabin.
Yeah, is that? I mean, what'd you say? They go their way a lot.
Yeah, they do. With George Pickens starting to step up, do you see any of the other receivers taking the next steps? Also, I would imagine if Cager is out, defenses will start to try to take away George, leaving one-on-one matchups elsewhere.
Pat Dye playbook. go ahead.
That should be. Are you reaching in for poker chips?
No, I don't have many huns.
Well, you mentioned Demetrius Robertson maybe being one of those guys that seems like he's taking that step forward.
Yeah, you know, he's been a real good trooper all year, blocked well. We just hadn't run that many plays where you can spread it around. My boy Tal Hutto coming in here might be lost. but anyhow, you just got to be careful that – in a game like this, when you only got so many shots, you only got so many chances, you can't be, you know, you got to go to your horses. I mean, you know, we got to get the ball to the right guy at the right time, you know, and hopefully Cager's going to be ready to go, that you know is money in the bank, and Pickens is going to be able to get open. But, you know, we can't be counting on the guy that's dropped a couple passes and give him another shot. I mean, you get in a game like that, you got to make the plays.
Throw it to Dominic Blaylock or Demetrius Robertson. And to your point about the, you know, guys trying to calm George Pickens down, you know, with J.R. Reed saying, we're going to calm him down.
I like the motion.
But again, a senior,
yeah, I like
on defense saying, look, we're going to keep.
I like his style, though, don't you? Well, I like the way.
I
just think he's got to be careful
throat
about
slash.
Well, he's a little bit back. I don't like that, but I don't like him sticking up one hand either. I mean, you got to go with both hands.
I look for him, too, though, to, you know, a lot, I think, is being made about this emotion, you know, and his play this week. I think he's going to come in super locked in. I think that he's got something to prove.
He
wants to show. Yeah,
hey,
he wants to show that you missed out on me.
I went to the right place.
That's right.
You guys are going to be going to the Birmingham Bowl.
And here's the thing. There are a lot of guys, and Coach will back me up here or he'll leave me out to dry either way, but there have been a lot of guys who come in with their focuses on themselves, their career. They're focused on, hey, I need to get my 3 years here that I can go to the league. I don't want to say they're not selfless, but they're very concerned about, you know, their numbers and such. You could see that with a guy like George Pickens, you know, a five-star guy who's, you know, trying to make a one-handed kick.
Sure.
It would be easy for him to be considered selfish, but the way he blocks and the passion that he has, I would 10 times rather have a guy getting flagged for being overly passionate than a guy who is a journeyman who just, it doesn't matter what name was on the front of his jersey, you know, because
he
was
going somewhere. About him, too.
So that kid wants to play here. He fights. He blocks. How many five-star guys come in and lay out hits like he's done? Suspicious, but I was like, I don't know if a guy like a big five-star guy like that is going to want to play the way Georgia wants its wide receivers to. He is bought in, and at that point, go a little crazy. Just don't do the throat slash.
I don't like that. He knew what the opportunity was here, though, with us losing those guys, and he knew coming in that he was going to get coached hard. And the one thing that I will point out that I really feel like grounded the guy right off the bat was Kirby wouldn't give him that number one till he earned it.
Yeah, that's true.
He had to work his ass off in practice and prove, hey, we're just not going to give you this number just because you're a high recruit and all that. If you know, you got to earn it. You're going to be an 80 number like most receivers or something like that. So
that was why I was a little suspicious.
Speaking of earning it, though, this was an interesting one. This is apropos of nothing other than just kind of the pulse of college football right now. Obviously, Chad Morris surprisingly let go at Arkansas.
What?
As I'm sure you have a hard time believing.
Just not acceptable. How many times has he said
an open letter out today from some former players at Arkansas advocating for Sam Pittman to get an opportunity. Phil Ryder says Kirby needs to give Sam Pittman a raise to keep him from going to Athens. You think there's anything to any of this chatter?
Well, Sam would be very deserving of a job like that. He's done a good job of wherever he's been, of coaching the O-line. You know, you get to be his age and you've been around the block so much, you just don't know whether he really wants to be a head coach. But selfishly for him, if that's what he wants, so the sacrifice he's made and everything he's done for Georgia, Kirby would promote him to try to get him to go there. He's not going to try to talk a guy to being a head coach to be selfishly stay with us, but he's going to ask him, hey, is that what you want to do? I'm going to help you. If not, we want you to stay here, you know. But I think you look at what happened to Tucker last year. That was why it was good. And Kirby talked him up for it. He promoted him for the job. So I think people are being looking at it the wrong way if you're saying, hey, we need to keep him here because we don't want him to go to Arkansas. Hey, if he's got a chance at all that he's done, I want to promote him if that's what he wants to do. But I would tell him that if he wants to be a head coach, boy, you got to really look at how long it's going to take to get that program back. I mean,
that's my feeling.
They don't have the talent, and they're going in a tough division there right now. Any way you look at it, it's tougher than the East. And
it's a massive reclamation project.
But he would be a guy that I would like to have be a coach for me, that's for sure. But
you just never know.
The thing that he would bring would be the credibility among the players because they know what kind of guy he is, you know, and he would help them recruit, that's for sure. And he's from Oklahoma, and he knows that area. So if he wants it, more power to him. I'd back him all the way.
Now, something I can get behind is our friends over at Academia Brewing Company have created a beer called Phobia. It is a double mash imperial stout, 13%.
Good Lord.
Yeah. If you like it, you know, you can take a four-pack or two home. It's got a little picture of a guy wearing a hockey mask on the front. Phobia, 13%. A little scary. They also have a chocolate stout over there because it's cold. You know, it's cold. It's winter. We're supposed to have, what, temperature in the 30s and 40s?
We'll be down into the 20s tonight, I believe.
There you go. So if you want something to keep you warm, swing by there and pick up one of their chocolate stouts. It's a cold and rainy weather getting you down. Don't pout. Have a stout. Of course, if you want to go by Academia Brewing Company tomorrow between 7 and 10, they are having their trivia contest, their weekly trivia. So you can pick that up. And, of course, there's always something going out there. Like on Thursday, they have a Latin benefit for U-Lead. The 18th, they have Animals of the Night at Academia. All kinds of stuff going out there. And, of course, you know, they have great beer. If you like stouts, you like I do, you know, if you like the gross IPAs like Jake does, those sours and stuff.
Nom, nom.
Yeah, they have tons of sours and stuff like that. So if you have beer snobs, swing by Academia. They will be happy. They will be thrilled. And, of course, if you have food snobs, go out there and they have a chef who'll take care of you. And I want to give also a shout-out to our friends at YourPie. So we had the UGA watch-along show with Coach Don and myself and Dane Young for this past Missouri game where I'm basically snarking on the game. Coach Don is calling all the plays before they happen, just about every play. It was like watching somebody who's seen it and is watching it later on TiVo or something, you know, just –
not really. Just a few of them.
It's about 30.
We had good time with it. And yeah. I hope we can keep building up on this. And people keep asking good questions. And, you know, really just gives you a different perspective from a standpoint of why we're doing things maybe a lot of times instead of wrong with what's going on.
So it's really easy to tune in. You just watch it on, like, your laptop, your iPad, or your phone. While you're watching TV, if you want to pause the TV for 10 seconds, we'll be synced up with it, and we'll be calling the plays, not calling the plays, but talking about the plays as they happen. We're not going to do a play-by-play because, yeah, they tend to sue you for stuff like that, but we are talking about it as it goes on. A lot of people have really enjoyed it. I'm learning a lot. I guarantee you will learn a lot. There's nothing. I'm not trying to take a shot at the announcers at ESPN or ABC or CBS, but I guarantee you Coach Donnan can tell you more about what's happening in particular with this Georgia football team than you would get anywhere else. While you guys were out there freezing, when you and the boys were at the game, I was sitting there eating my Southern Heat pizza from
Well, that sounds
from
nice.
Your pie. Yes, yeah. It was wonderful. I even had a brownie.
I'm just now getting the feeling back in my hands.
Well, shut up and get back to Auburn, and we're going to do the same thing this Saturday at 3:20. If you go to our YouTube page, we will be there. We'll have Coach Don and breaking the game down. I think this Saturday we'll try to get the folks here at Champions to hook us up with some of these tamales and stuff like that for the game Saturday. Fantastic sandwiches, fantastic salads, fantastic pasta from our friends over at EuroPie. It is a great meal to have for the right when the game's starting. You know, great for halftime. So if you get a chance, hook them up.
All right. We've got some recruiting questions coming in. Definitely want to on those today. Chuck Ward says 100% endorse the Watch Along Show with Coach. If Chuck Ward says it, you can believe
Chuck's
it.
Chuck's the man.
A lot of recruiting questions coming in today, especially about Georgia's newest commit, which went down this morning, 2023. Treyon Webb out of Trinity Christian High School.
Grader?
Ninth grader out of Jacksonville. He is quite a good athlete. Said he spoke to coaches, had, the feeling that this is where he wanted to be all along, said this was his dream offer. Now, look, I understand the skepticism that people have. It's hard to go three straight years, no hiccups along the way, flips or decommitments or da-da-da-da-da. Everybody's used to that kind of thing. It's the first time in my 5 years covering this that I can remember a freshman committing. We've gotten close a couple times with a few guys that we thought. But overall, I think that it's a really interesting pickup for Georgia. Can't hurt. You got your first 2023 commit before you got your first 2022 commit, which is a bit odd as well. But good-looking athlete, 6 foot, about 180
really
pounds, versatile, probably projects a defensive back at the next level, and some people believe he's kind of got that 4 to 5 star ceiling. So,
you know, when you look at what Kirby's done hiring coaches here, always has really supplemented our staff on every guy he's ever hired. Bringing Todd Hartley in here solidified the tight end position because, he's a guy that's worked with him and everything, but just brings in a Tommy Gunn guy down there in the state of Florida, all the access he had being a coach at Miami, but he's got that Jacksonville area, and he gets in there and he's on fire with all those kids because he's had existing relationship with them. Very similar when we hired Coley, who had been recruiting the area down there in South Florida with the Miami area, and you see some of the fruits of his labor, the guys we got. I mean, how many people got two corners like Campbell and Stevenson from down there? You know what I'm talking
Absolutely.
About?
Absolutely.
Miami doesn't
even
have that.
And Devon Wilson, too. So you had that. So, but, of course, the real clincher on that is having Dale McGee coaching the backs to look at him and work with him, too, because, he plays backfield there. So just really smart by Kirby bringing in Todd Hartley.
I do want to give a – shout out to Hartley.
Todd, you better get that tight end from Las Vegas. I'm going to talk about you.
Getting a kid out of Trinity is big.
I agree.
Yeah, any
hotbed.
Trinity is loaded. If you want to start a football team, go down to Trinity, go to Yulee, go to Orange Park. That Jacksonville area is absolutely loaded. They play some hellacious football down there. I'll take almost any kid out of that that area there. And then just go right up the street to Brunswick.
Sure.
There's always great talent down there. And South Georgia. And I want to give a shout out to our friends at the Valdosta Bulldog Club. They sent us from one of their previous engagements they had, the Valdosta Bulldog Club Junkyard Brawl. They had a golf classic from 2007.
So we had a fight there to golf?
No, they raised money. They raised so much money for the University of Georgia football team. It's scary. I mean, the guys have done a fantastic job, and they were nice enough to say, hey, we could have that and put it on our show.
Cool.
So we'll be heading back down there to speak to the Azalea City Civic Club, formerly the Kiwanis Club, probably sometime later this month. So keep a lookout
for Valdosta. That.
In Valdosta.
Yeah, if you ever want UGA Sports Coach Donnan to come down to your event, just let us know. Reach out.
That's not me, man. I can't leave
that. Dog B over on the board with another recruiting question.
Dog B?
He says, of the current and projected commits, Coach, I'm interested in your take on this. Who is likely to see the field earliest and why? Is it due to depth or purely football talent? Is there a
you
guy?
You mean guys for 2020?
2020, yeah. Is there a guy that jumps off the board to you as an early?
I'd say any of those D linemen got a really good shot coming in here. And obviously, one of those tackles is going to have to jump up and be in the two deep on offense. That hits me. And then, of course, Milton. You got to find a place for him.
Absolutely.
If Swift goes out. So you're going to lose Swift and Harry. And so
I think
I'd say Milton probably is the number one guy early.
I like that one. I think Marcus Roseme, I talk about him almost every week as a guy who I think could be kind of plug and play for you. Great hands, willing blocker.
Like his speed.
Can do a little bit of it all. I think he'll be a very natural fit. And you mentioned those defensive linemen. Jalen Carter is the guy that I've got circled on that defensive line. I think he could slot right in.
Well,
no
you know,
problem.
You see how Walker's really come in and made an imprint with his athleticism. This guy's about 30 pounds heavier, and, you know, bigger. And
yeah, he's
maybe doesn't move quite as fast, but I think we could use Walker back there, tailback. So I'm like Charles Grant, but we won't do that. But there's one other thing I want to point out here about something about the SEC officials where somebody was asking me a couple weeks ago, why do they have the headsets on and what do they do, you know, in the communication during the game? And in the game against Alabama, a really vivid thing why is because when you go to replay and you talk to Steve Shaw in Birmingham, you need to tell him, and the guy goes over to the sideline with that Viewmaster thing, and he says, okay, here's the call. This guy called pass interference, and the reason he did, he said the guy could catch the ball but it's because the guy knocked him out of bounds or whatever it might be. You know, regardless what he called. But in the LSU game, a guy went out of bounds and came back in, and you can't do that unless the guy pushes you out of bounds. Well, he had that communication where they told him that the reason the call was upheld was the guy pushed him out of bounds, he came back in bounds, had 1 foot in. So I think it's good to know what the communication situation is with the SEC when they go to the Viewmaster. They tell them what the call was on the field, why they made it, and then they either uphold it or review it.
And then get it wrong.
Well, Mr. Negative.
You'll never get me on the side of the refs. I'm
not
sorry.
On the side of it.
I know
I like
not.
I like the fact they got those headsets on.
They are more accurate.
It's a tough deal.
No, you're right. They are a lot more accurate than they used to be.
But we need to replay probably get two wonders. More officials so we can keep up with basketball. They got three guys calling 10 guys in basketball. And they both, all three of them make $8,000 a game or something like that.
Man, I need to
it's
be a basketball ref. Jesus Christ.
I mean, they make unbelievable.
$8,000 a game?
We got our friend
yeah, for
John,
a year.
John, find out from how much those basketball officials make. I mean, it's unbelievable.
All right.
How much does Bruce Pearl pay him?
Good question.
He pays him $8,500.
Looking ahead to this
he's
weekend.
He's in that pad die playbook, too.
They said,
look, you can come down here. We're used to this now, Bruce. Whatever you did in Tennessee, we've done that before here. We got it.
I'll never hear the end of that from Jay Tate. Sorry, Jay. I couldn't resist.
Dylan Brooks gives a shout-out to my sweater, so I'm going to take his question.
That
he
is.
Says, love the sweater, Jake. A lot of people comment
Christmas
today. Not, it's not really a
is
Christmas
that Bing
sweater.
Crosby
it's,
or
just, it's just green.
So that bum you beat up, I guess he just hadn't eaten in a while or what?
I like it.
I found him dead on North Avenue. He was says Dylan wants to know
crack on your shoulder
coach what makes Jordan Ayer so tough to play in, what makes that environment so hostile?
Well, they got fans there that are just so loyal to their team. They've been used to winning over the years, going back to Shug Jordan. I mean, they just like our place. I mean, it's just a tradition there. Most of their alums, you know, have had an affinity for Auburn their whole lives, and they've had that big you know, going against Bama and against us. I mean, they just really appreciate football, and it's a 365 days a year type situation. So it's just a loud crowd, and I think experiencing which usually I don't go to a lot of away games, but I went to that game 2 years ago because we were ranked number one. And boy, they do a good job of fan involvement. I mean, that big video board, everything about the place, and they get that crowd involved. And
no
so
question.
I think that's certainly part of it, too. But we can negate some of that if we can just, you know, take the air out of them a little bit.
I have to admit, it's one of the loudest places I've ever been to a game.
It is.
LSU was super loud last year, definitely. But, you know, Auburn, that 2017 game when they beat Georgia pretty handily, I mean, that place was rocking. It was loud. And like you said, the accoutrements of the stadium, that video board's super impressive. The production they put into it, it's
no worse than anywhere else, or no better than anywhere else. I mean, it's no worse for the Georgia team.
Vanderbilt.
Well, that's because it's a home game for Georgia. But I mean, you go when I'm down there with the big camera,
we got to get Vanderbilt and Arkansas planned for the day of the SEC championship. They need to play the preliminary game to see which one of them is the worst in the league.
the bottom there. I take earplugs and I put them in my bag for just about every game. I've had to pull them out at the LSU, had to pull them out at Tennessee, had to pull them out at Auburn. You know, those places are loud. Especially if you're the number one team in the country and you're getting your head kicked in, you know, the hometown crowd is going to be fired up, especially in a rivalry game like that. It doesn't matter what's going to happen this weekend. Auburn is going to be lights out. The only thing you could do is to actually stop to take the crowd out of it is not only be above a score, two scores. You need to be up four scores or something like that to actually send them on a cold night, send them for the exits, because that team is going to be – I mean, that crowd is going to be loud all the time. But, again, it's no different than playing at Tennessee. Tennessee was loud this year.
I mean, the construction of that stadium, really, I mean
– Same with LSU. LSU straight up and down. When Georgia was getting killed at LSU, that place, I mean, even through the earplugs in, it's still loud as hell. So, it ain't good.
When they get to singing neck, man.
I miss those basketball officials by 6,000.
I was using Bruce Pearl.
2,500.
So they're paid 2,500 in Athens.
Yeah.
Plus expenses, which are 5,000 to get here.
Yeah.
There you go.
Speaking of
those guys, do 3 or 4 games a week.
Yeah. So you are in the wrong business there.
No doubt.
I want to give a big shout out to our friends over at Aaron Overhead Doors, 678-960. Forget it. 3360. So if you get a chance, call the folks at Aaron Overhead Doors. Remember, it's Aaron, A-A-R-O-N, like Aaron Murray.
Aaron. A-A-Ron.
A-Ron. You done messed up now, A-Ron. So hit our friends over at Aaron Overhead Doors if you need a garage door done. And I guarantee you they can do some stuff that you've never seen before. I just saw what they did for a brewery over in Buford. Fantastic doors there that they can open up, you know, glass doors. So, you know, when the weather's nice, they'll open them up. And then when it's weather's not, to have them closed, but they still let in a ton of natural light. Fantastic folks at Aaron Overhead Doors. The ratings for them are off the chart. The customer service ratings are excellent. So if you need to book something with them, you can book online or you can call them. And I guarantee you are not going to be dealing with a contractor. They're not going to call some guy, you know, sitting around as a double wide with a nasty truck, you know, and say, hey, go out and fix these people's garage doors. They're going to send one of their employees.
He's not going to be out casing your house.
Exactly. He's not going to look. Well, let me fix the code for your garage door. Let me write down the code. You're going on vacation next week. That's good to know.
That's a hell of a nice TV.
Yeah, exactly. So they are going to take care of you. They're not going to do any of that nasty stuff. And they will also give you a free estimate. So you don't have to say, hey, come out here and like call a plumber out there. You're going to have to pay the plumber to come out. So you won't have to do that with our folks there in Overhead Doors. So big shout out to them.
That's good. All right, hey, do you know what? Seriously, do you know what? I heard him just say double wide. Do you know what a divorce and a tornado, a divorce from an Auburn person and a tornado have in common in Alabama?
I do not.
Going to be at least 2 double wides involved.
That's cold.
All right, a couple questions here as we're wrapping up. A lot of people asking about this new college football playoff rankings come out tonight. Do you expect Georgia to stay in the same position, move up, move down? Where do you see things going?
I move up to 5.
Move up to 5 because of the Penn State and Alabama losses? Where do you see Alabama going?
I say Alabama's going to be 4. We'll be 5. Right. Probably Minnesota and Oregon are going to be the beneficiary of some big moves. But
Penn State will drop behind.
Penn State, it's like they dropped down to 9th or 10th in the polls. But I think it's going to be LSU, Ohio State, Clemson, Alabama, us, maybe Oregon or
Minnesota
at 6.
How impressed are you with Minnesota?
I'm impressed just from this standpoint. You know, Drew Wilson is one of our trainers here. He does a great job. He came in here from Northwestern, but he went to school at Michigan, but his dad's a trainer at Western Michigan, and P.J. Fleck was up there, and when P.J. got the job at Minnesota, Drew was talking about how bought in the players were at Western Michigan to his, you know, he does a lot of that stuff. It looks like Mickey Mouse about
sure.
team,
row the
team,
boat,
row the boat, all that.
Yeah.
But, you know, he's a lot like Kirby from the standpoint in charge of everything. And it's either my way or the highway in that system. And fortunately for him, he got that quarterback they had committed to Western Michigan to go with him to up to Minnesota, and that's not an easy job now. I mean, you got to get players. Can you imagine bringing a kid in there from Miami for an official visit?
You know, they pull the kid, the Rashad Bateman, out of Tifton.
They do, but they don't ever let him get out of the airport. They don't ever see. I mean, seriously, I know some guys that have coached there. We know Glenn Mason went up there, and he said, you know, just very difficult to recruit, but it takes a unique kid to go up there. But now they're playing – they used to play in the Dome, but they're playing outside now.
Yeah.
And that stadium was rocking, and they deserved that win, though. I mean, it looked like Penn State was going to come back, but very – I'm impressed with Fleck, and he's done a good job.
Thoughts on the game this weekend?
Well, I want to go back to the thing about a lot of people say, well, why wouldn't Georgia be four? You know, they're six. Two teams ahead of them lose. Shouldn't they move up two spots?
We lost to South Carolina, and they lost to LSU. What are you talking about?
Exactly. But the flip side of that is, yeah, and who have they beaten? Nobody. Georgia's has two top 10 wins. So it's like, okay, you lost on a four-turnover game. The case can be made either way. The good news is it doesn't matter. So don't get pissed off if they're ranked five and you think, well, Alabama lost LSU, but they haven't beaten anybody, which is a fair argument.
We got to win the SEC championship. We got to win out and win the SEC championship, and we're in.
It was always going to be that way.
We won't be.
It was always going to be that way. So,
it's because of South Carolina loss. Yeah. I mean,
so once you lost South Carolina,
they hold those losses against you. Look at Purdue beating Ohio State last year. I mean, That was the credit bureau wanting to know if you're going to pay for this. Seriously, man, I thought I had that baby off. My bad, but I think that it's really immaterial right now.
That's my point.
Look at Clemson getting all pissed off last week, but the only bad part about that was they were running it up against my alma mater last week, throwing the ball at the end of the game. And
boy, he did not seem to like that, did he, Dave Doran? He was
well. They, you know, he hasn't liked. Dabo's been mad at him since they turned him in for using those computers on the sideline a couple years ago. Remember that?
Oh,
one?
Yeah.
They had that, and they were doing what they could do within the framework of using the computers, but Doran was saying that they weren't, so that didn't make him very happy. I tell you, he's going to be in the world of hurt this week, a team that the ACC was counting on being a top 25 team and helping their conference. They lost last week to Virginia Tech. Now they're going down to Death Valley, 33-point underdog, Wake Forest, Demon Deeks. Woo! Clemson and South Carolina. Clemson's got to play Wake Forest and South Carolina.
Who do you like for the Florida State job?
I hope Ned and the first reader, because I don't want anybody down there because they get some players. But, you know, it's going to be a situation there where they got to get somebody in there that's got a name, you know, that can recruit. I mean, they're so far behind right now talent-wise on Miami and Florida that I don't know that they're that far behind, but they're going to end up winning these last two games because they're going to – I mean, going to a bowl because they got, what is it, Alabama State this week or somebody like that?
Yeah, it's not great.
And then they got to watch out for that Alabama State band, though. They play the whole game. They don't even care if there's any rules. They just keep playing. Bah, bah, bah. And you can't even hear when you're doing the game talking on the headset.
Okay, I want to go to that game now.
They play. I mean, they rock, man. They rock. But then they got the Gators the last game. I'd love to see them beat the Gators, wouldn't you?
That would be something. And I'll tell you what.
Carry the guy off the field and then Mullen after the game say they didn't play very good.
I know you said they need a name. I'd love to see Odell Higgins get the chance. His press conference yesterday talking about Marvin Wilson, that guy is all Florida State.
He's been there for a long time.
About 30 years or so.
You just can't give it to a guy like that.
I get it.
You just paid a guy $17 million, not the coach. The thing about it, though, that I would like to see, you got these guys working on it. It's like out there in Nebraska a few years ago when they fired Frank Solich. It took them 47 days to hire a guy, and they couldn't get the guy they wanted. So they ended up taking Bill Callahan at the last second, who was a fish out of water there. You know,
no question. I mean,
that game they lost to Texas Tech when Leach was there 77-0 was hard to believe Nebraska get beat that bad. But
all right, bringing it back to Georgia this weekend, what do you see happening, Coach?
Yeah, I like our chances of going over there and putting it all together. I mean, we're due. We're about 12 months pregnant in the red zone. Got to get it going in there. I like our defense to really not give up a lot of big plays, and I think we got a decided advantage in the kicking game.
Mouthwatering player?
I'm going to go with Pickens just because I think he's going to have some shots to do it.
All right. Roddy, what do you think?
I'm going to go with Demetrius Robertson.
Okay.
Cager banged up a little bit. An absolute warrior. It's a guy to play in the pain that he has been in. Very, very proud of a guy that can suffer through that and perform at that level. He's going to be another crowd favorite like Maurice Smith. You know, people are just going to love the guy, the contribution that he gives. But I think they're going to be a plan for him. Maybe he's a little limited. They're going to try to take away George Pickens because they're not going to. They'd rather take away, lose the game than have him be the victor. You know,
sure.
There's a subplot there. So they're going to do whatever
really
they can.
They're going to think like that.
I'm not saying they're going to throw the game. I'm just saying that they're not going to let him beat them. Okay? That's the last thing you're going to do is have that storyline coming after the game that the guy that spurned your last second is the hero. So you make sure that he doesn't win it, and that to me leaves Demetrius Robertson in a mismatch somewhere. You saw a couple more plays to him lately. I think they're realizing, hey, we have one of the fastest guys on the field in space. Let's get it to him. There'll be somebody watching. I mean, DeAndre Swift killed him last year.
True.
It was like
180, I think.
180 yards last year. So they're focusing on him. In other words, the one guy who might not get the biggest have as much focus on him, Demetrius Robertson.
Okay. I'm going to go with – I think that it has to be the offensive line for me because that's what it comes down to this game.
Good point.
So if the offensive line is your mouthwatering player, if they perform up to the level that they should, I think that that's the key matchup.
They got
to
get a tie.
Yeah.
Yes. I agree.
Number one thing you always talk to your players about is avoid the lost yardage plays. If we look at the Florida game, we had no sacks, very few lost yardage plays. They had one the first play of the game when a guy jumped inside. But if we can avoid lost yardage plays in this game, that'll really be big plus for us.
I think Kinlaw against South Carolina, that has to be a big concern kind of lingering in the back of your head. Derrick Brown, you know, a better player. Kinlaw's a great one, don't get me wrong, but I think Derrick another level. So containing those guys up front.
And those last week, those two interior defensive tackles were pretty bloody good, too. They gave you, and especially when you're changing out offensive centers, you know,
exactly.
You're on three of them, you know, that's not where you – if any place you wanted to get hurt, that's not where you wanted to be hurt. So,
all right.
Anyway, we're going to wrap it up there, folks. Be sure to tune in next Tuesday. We'll be talking about the Auburn game and looking ahead to Texas A&M. Big shout-out to Champions here on Baxter Street and, of course, Athens Ford, Academia Brewing Company, Europe High, and Aaron Overhead Doors. We will talk to you next week.